Welcome everyone to the Smith Inc. September webinar and podcast episode. If you're joining us live today, you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time. Just use the Ask a Question function on your GoToWebinar control panel and that will be answered at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. Now I'm going to hand over to Mark Holton, Smith Inc. Director, to present using strategic planning to leverage advisory services. Over to you, Mark.
Well, thank you, Andrea, and good morning, everybody, and welcome to our September members webinar and webinar for anyone that wants to come along. To be honest, it's a lovely sunny day in Sydney. I'm sitting here in a hotel overlooking Darling Harbour, and I hope wherever you might be around the country, you're having a good day as well. This month, I wanted to talk to you about something a little bit different. You know, in the past few months, we've spoken about how to structure a firm, the mistakes that firms make around advisory. But I want to spend this and a couple of other webinars coming up next year looking at specific ways to get clients engaged. One of the most common questions I get is, how do I get a client interested? You know, how do I get them on board? And also the other most obvious question I often get is, what price do I put on this? I've long been a believer that strategic planning is an engagement point that just about every small business owner needs to get their mind around. In fact, I've done quite a few strategic planning events with small business owners, with charities, with not-for-profits and the like over the years, and I'm getting more and more engagements around doing this as well with accounting firms. And I suppose probably the key thing around this is we know what strategic planning is. It's a cycle of success. It's looking at where we are today. It's looking at where we want to be tomorrow, and not just from a financial perspective, as important as that is, but you know, from a people perspective, from a system perspective, from a process, from an efficiency perspective, and then looking to see the step-by-step process to get us there, and the who's going to do it, and when it's going to be done by, and the milestones that are going to create success, and looking to build on those milestones. You know, when I do this with an accounting firm, the first thing I will do is to go and interview the owners of the business and also the key personnel, to get their mind around how the business is operating, where the success points are, and also their opinion of how we can do things better, more efficiently, and more successfully. I really don't see the difference between doing that and one that I've got coming up with a local basketball association. And the first thing we're currently doing is interviewing the team. We're looking for the team to participate in some pre-planning around things like their vision, their mission, their values. Things like a SWOT analysis to look at their strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So when I look at doing this with a small business owner, the first thing I want to do is be prepared. And the next thing I want to do is to have a simple, easy discussion with them around where their success points are, where they want their business to be in the future, how well they understand their business at the moment. And to be honest with you, one of the key things that leads into is the opportunity for you to then go back in after this day or half day, or even a couple of hours session is done, and then pitch your business advisory service offerings, in particular, board of advice meetings, budgets, cash flows. Let's measure what you plan to do against what you did do. And then integrate your cloud-based accounting systems into whatever software you're going to use and systemize the process around the use of that particular software and service to be able to deliver ongoing at least quarterly board of advice and support meetings for your client, which then obviously gets your advisory stuff up and going. So when we look at a strategic planning cycle, we're looking at, you know, where do I want to go? You know, what's the desired outcomes? You know, how do we get there? What strategies do we need to employ? How do we measure success? What targets and measures will we put into place and how often will we view them? You know, how well did we do? We've got to sit down and measure that performance over time. And more importantly, how can we improve, which comes back to a realignment of goals. I see this as being a loss leader for a lot of firms into business advisory services. So where do we start? I would always start with a SWOT analysis. And one of the things I've always done is to get the key operators, and that's the owners, the senior managers, or whatever organization it might be, and invite them as preparation for this strategic planning session to submit their ideas on strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. the internal strengths and weaknesses, and the external opportunities and threats. And I often do this by simply setting up a Google Docs document and sharing that document with the key operators so they can go in there and they can add to it. That also what that also does for you, if you think about it, is it gets you prepared, it gets you inside their head, but it also allows you to have a central point of management when we come to do the session with them, where we can throw that information up on screen and discuss it, not waste time going over and asking them, what's your strengths, what's your weaknesses? You know, if we're going to make this a reasonably streamlined process and not part of an entire day, you're there for an entire day, like, by all means, put, you know, talk to them about these things. But we've got to get prepared. So, you know, we've all done a SWOT analysis. But my question is, how many of these have you done with clients? You know, let's look at what are they strong at? What are they good at? What do they do well? Let's look at what do they not do so well? What could they do better? You know, and that just creates a mechanism for further discussion. We look at their opportunities. What are they currently not seizing that they could seize in the future? And also their threats. You know, what external influences could particularly change the way they operate, change their model? And then from that perspective, discussions will evolve around how do we take a strength and turn it to an opportunity? How do we take a weakness and turn it back to a strength? You know, we know with a lot of the dashboard software out there that it zeroes in pretty nicely on financial strengths and weaknesses. So we can tie that in there, irrespective of what you're using, any of the great applications that are available in the marketplace. But these are more business-orientated discussions. It's really getting inside the client's head and finding out what is important to them. You know, what do they see as the key things? And often, as you and I know, as you do this, you come up with different views when it comes to owners as compared to team members and other staff members. I would always start with a SWOT analysis. The second thing I would do is develop the vision, mission, and values. A lot of businesses haven't gone down this pathway, and a lot of them confuse the difference between vision and mission in particular. And I've noticed just recently with a few corporates that they tend to look at the mission as being the key thing and the vision as the secondary thing. In my mind, the vision has always been the roadmap for success. You know, what do you want to be known as? You know, what are you trying to aim at? The mission is a more precise statement on how you intend to get there. And values are things that you hold dear. When I work with an accounting firm, we discuss vision, mission, values. And often values in an accounting firm is pretty similar. You know, things like commitment, things like integrity, things like trust, things like, you know, going the extra distance for our clients. When it comes to your small business clients, how many of them have sat down and worked out what their values are? How many of them communicate it through their website? How many of them have a different idea to what is actually up on the website? Because I've seen that again and again and again. In particularly one I'm about to do, where the vision, mission, and values on paper is totally 100% different than what's on the website. And the board, per se, are struggling with which one is the one they're happy with. So often a discussion around this, you find out the direction of the business. In my mind, if we were to do nothing else with the client, apart from have a discussion around their vision, their mission, their values, and you might not get through that process in an hour or two that you might want to devote to this to get clients on board with advisory. But certainly having the discussion will then lead to maybe we need to get together and do a day looking more precisely at your strategic vision, your strategic focus, your strategic outcomes, and then turn that opportunity into an ongoing quarterly board of advice monitoring and management service, which is part of your core business advisory operations, as we've discussed before. But I can look at, you know, my involvement with one charity that I've been on for a long, long while, which is Ronald McDonald House out at Westmead. Well, we're no longer known as Westmead, we're known as Greater Western Sydney, because our scope is much broader than just the suburb of Westmead where we're located. But our vision is quite simple. We're a home away from home for families of sick children. Now, staff can remember that, the board can remember that, but we need to start to look at our vision and has it changed over the last period of time? Because not only do we have a Ronald McDonald House at Westmead, we have a Ronald McDonald family room out at Nepean Hospital at Penrith. We run the Ronald McDonald Learning Program, which is a program to help children who are in hospital with their literacy and numeracy skills. So our model has changed very much from what we're known as which is a Ronald McDonald House, to more so, you know, we're a facility that provides ongoing support to families of sick children. So maybe we've got to start to look at that because our model has changed over the period. In my mind, a good vision is one that has about three thought processes in it maximum. And I see a lot of accounting firm visions that are miles too long. And when I ask staff, what is the vision? I get abbreviated versions of it that probably doesn't even come close. I guarantee you, when you have this discussion with your small business clients, one thing that will come out of it is that, one, we don't have one. Two, we do have one, but we haven't looked at it for ages. Three, we do have one, but it's not the same as the one on the website because we never updated it. And that just leads to doubt. And where there's doubt there, there's opportunity for you to go in there and support the client better. Well, as we move from the preemptive thing, I've got one firm I can tell you about, no name, no pack drills, that are offering, you know, 1.5 hour strategic planning sessions to any client that's interested. And what they do on that 1.5 hour session, and by the way, they don't charge for it. It's a loss leader. It's an introduction. It's an engagement step. Is they do nothing more than talk about vision and mission, and they do a SWOT analysis with the client. And out of that comes opportunity because there's a whole host of things that need to be addressed that you don't have the time to address today, and it becomes an opportunity for the future. It's just a preemptive step in getting the client interested in improving their business. But let's take that thought process a dash further. Let's look at what else we could talk to the client about in a more structured strategic planning day. And one of the things I believe we need to discuss quite simply is the market. You know, what market are they operating in? And to a certain extent, the SWOT analysis could very well, you know, determine a whole host of issues here. But things like, you know, what changes are occurring in the market that you're working in? You know, are there new industries? Are there new style of operators? Are there new operational models out there? You know, what's the impact of technology on how you're currently doing things? What challenges are you facing? You know, are there any new markets that we could otherwise pursue, which should link back to opportunities in your SWOT analysis? How might these changes impact our business? And something else that I think is critical with a lot of small business owners, are we in the right location? You know, and does our model really sustain the future? I do a lot of work, guys, in the golf industry. And I've had a long interest in the golf industry, as some of you might be aware. The golf retail shop on course has changed dramatically. The impact of golf warehouses, the impact of online purchasing of golf equipment, the ease with buying stuff offshore and having it sent to us in literally no time at all. So the internet, competitors, golf warehouses, and even competitors in the on-course areas close to them. It's a very dynamic market that makes it very hard to have a strategic conversation around what we used to do when the market has changed so dramatically. I'm sure you have clients who fit that bill in different industries as well. Technology. Is there one industry at the moment that hasn't been impacted by technology? Let's look in our own backyard and ask that question as well. So, you know, what are the key technologies that are emerging? How will these technologies impact our customers? Do these technologies provide opportunities for us, a small business owner, to deliver existing services in a new manner or create new services? I'll go back to the golf industry as well. If we're going to stay competitive, we've either got to compete on a different product space or get out there and compete with the online internet type sales models. So that requires a fair bit of infrastructure, training, development, staff, and strategic vision to make that happen. Now, do we have the ability to utilize technology to create new services? You know, I've long spoken about the accounting industry and advisory, utilizing technology, but utilizing technology as part of a strong, structured, process-driven, you know, an infrastructure-wise model. I've long spoken about engaging clients and getting them interested and on board for advisory using a very structured process, but there's some brilliant technology that can assist us in that process and help you standardize your operation much, much more. You know, does new technology threaten our existence of our existing or any potential service delivery? And more importantly, what should we do about these opportunities and threats? So again, these questions are tying back into your SWOT analysis, become such a powerful engagement tool in the first instance. When it comes to competitors, do we have any? You know, what competitive advantages do we have? What's our unique selling proposition? I'm a strong believer every business has a USP. A lot of them don't think about it enough and define it enough and certainly don't talk about it enough. You know, what competitive advantages do our competitors have over us? Do they have services not provided by us that we could deliver? There's no point sitting back and worrying. Get in there and get your hands dirty. Who might emerge as new competitors in this market space? And how do we position ourselves to deal with this challenge? And what activities should we undertake from understanding our competitors and the challenges they bring? So is the current model right? Do we need to diversify? Do we need to expand? Do we need to enhance? Or do we need to sit down and look at 5 years down the track, if the existing service offering doesn't stack up, what are we going to do about it then? And come back to what do you need to start to do now? I mean, all these questions provide such brilliant engagement processes and brilliant opportunities to get in there and start to help your clients build better businesses, more profitable, cash flow strong, and wealth generating businesses. But the one thing I know clients want after years of doing this is accountability. They want someone to keep on top of them when it comes to goals, when it comes to objectives, when it comes to values and delivering those things. And that's where we need to get in there so that we can differentiate our business against business coaches and some of the other competitors that are coming out of the woodwork, like banks, by the way. Don't blink and they'll be in this particular space, like industry groups who are out there offering, you know, diagnostic and support services as part of membership. We need to get much, much more competitive in this space. Our customers are our clients in our industry, customers to our clients. You know, how is the customer base changing? You know, what age are the customers? Are they suffering from what a lot of accounting firms do? And that's aging clients and not enough strategies to evolve into the new, younger, more technologically focused entrepreneurial type client. You know, what are we going to do about that one? What industries do we service and can we leverage this expertise? Are we accessing emerging business people? You know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what can we do about this? How do we understand the process? Our products and services. You know, do our products and services fit the market? Certainly as well as they used to. Or if the market has changed, do our products and services really hit the need of the consumer? You know, what feedback have we received from customers? I've spoken to numerous SMEs, small business owners, that have never, ever done a client survey or a customer survey. They've never, ever asked the customer, are they happy? And what services do they need? They've never, ever gone out there and promoted the diversity of services. But then I've spoken to a lot of accounting firms that don't do this as well. You know, and a lot of accounting firms aren't out there asking customers and clients, you know, well, when does it suit us? When does it suit you to bring the information in? And then build that into their resource plans and their capacity management structures. Now, do we need to refresh our products? What customers have common frustrations? You know, what are they frustrated with us? You know, do we respond calls quick enough? Are we proactive enough? Or do we talk that and not follow it through? You know, you're better, in my mind, you're better off to know it than not know. And a customer that will tell you an honest piece of feedback is the one that you really need to hunt and talk to and ask. Now, maybe it's a case of just getting out there and shooting out a survey, following up a few, doing a few visits, whatever the case may be. You know, and what other new products and services should we consider? Is there something out there that we haven't taken on board? Strategically, how do we get that into our product mix or our service mix? So as you can see, when you're starting to do this with clients, it takes an awful lot of work. But what I'm talking about here is running a complete strategic planning day as distinct from doing a couple of hours as a loss leader to get the client interested in planning for the future. Resource-wise, you know, are we leveraging the skills of our employees and our owners well enough? You know, what employment trends do we need to focus in the future? In fact, a lot of these questions filter straight back to your SWOT analysis because they're questions that you should be need to ask these guys as you're doing that. You know, how do we attract and retain the stars? I know in our industry, guys, the single biggest issue regionally is finding quality staff and holding them there. So, you know, what do we do about that? How do we structure our business? You know, what do we offer? You know, do we have existing stars that can be nurtured? Are they the sort of people that we're going to bring through as potential equity owners? You know, what other key person risks do we have? And what can we do to make our team more effective? And more importantly, something that I've been jabbering about for years and years and years, particularly in the advisory space, is that training is paramount. Every client you do in advisory is different because they're in different industries. When it comes to compliance, it's very much more commoditized than the standard stock model. When it comes to advisory, there's a massive difference in doing an engagement with a jeweler compared to a farmer, with a golf professional compared to an architect. You know, so training in specific industry type management is critical. Training in soft skills is critical. What sort of questions to ask, you know? And it comes back to your SME clients as well. Training in key areas to get key data around services is also something that's well and truly required. And I'm sure with a lot of your SME clients, conflict management, dealing with difficult customers, management, leadership, customer service training is also a very important part and should be part of their strategy moving forward. Business management and ownership, let's have a discussion with them about how our management could be improved. We ever ask the staff? Ever ask the clients? You know, what are our key challenges? What succession issues do we face? Is there someone coming through? Do we need to look internally? Do we need to look externally? Now, who are our future leaders that we can train, develop and enhance to take the pressure off the SME owner who at the moment is working so hard, the business is so dependent on them, that there is no leverage, there is no room to breathe. You know, and what's the future plan for owners? When do they want to get out? I mean, a conversation with a small business owner about when do they want to get out should lead to a succession planning opportunity. You know, and then that could possibly lead to an estate planning opportunity and a risk management opportunity. So in the middle of every one of these questions, what I'd challenge you guys to do online today is think, how do these questions then evolve into a service? If a question is about who are our future leaders, where's your succession plan? Do you have one? No. Do you think we need to work on that? You know, are we sharing profits properly? You know, what's your profit share plan? What's your partnership agreement? You know, what do we need to put into place, particularly if you're looking at new equity owners to come through? You know, and how long do you want to be in this business before you go nuts? Every one of these questions leads back to a service offering that strategically you offer and then subsequently you deliver. And lastly, let's look at building a plan. I saw a strategic plan the other day for an organisation I'm about to do some work with in October. It was 3 pages long. It wasn't strategic, it was operational. I was sitting there thinking, as a board, why are you worrying about operations? Isn't it your role to set the strategy? And then it's the CEO's role in the business and the team to deliver the strategy in line with your strategic position. The problem with that organisation, guys, was the board was too hands-on. You know, and when it comes to a lot of our small business clients, their board, who often could be one person, two people, or two or three people, are often too hands-on because they're too focused and too controlled by the business. They have dependency issues that need to be addressed, which means they need to have a plan on how to address that. You know, I figure 5 initiatives, maybe 5's too many with some clients, it could be 3. You know, what are the top 3 things we're going to work on over the next 12 months? So in my mind, if the strategic plan doesn't basically fit on one page, it's probably very unlikely it's going to be achieved. So what activities are needed? Who's going to do it? When's it going to be completed? What will the outcome of the initiative be? So if the initiative is to grow sales by 10%, who's going to do it? You know, when are we going to do it? What measurement points do we need to have? What KPIs do we need to put in place? And what will the outcome be on the total business? What will that filter through to when it comes to profit improvement? What will that filter through to when it comes to cash flow management and value in the business, which is where we fit in perfectly? We are in such a unique position in our industry to be able to service this. The beauty of strategic planning is it becomes such a unique engagement opportunity because it gets the clients thinking. You know, do we have capacity to undertake the initiatives? If not, what are we going to do about it? There's no point saying, no, we don't, without a plan to address it. I talk to accounting firms every day that tell me they've got capacity issues. My first response is, what the hell are we going to do about it? There's no point whinging. There's no point sitting here and procrastinating. What are we going to do to make this happen? And lastly, how will we ensure that we keep our focus on these initiatives despite client work or customer work and other pressures that will hit us? We're all busy and we're all creatures of habit, both in the accounting game, the golf game, and every SME out there. We do what we're comfortable with. We do what we like. And I've always believed as a business owner, you've got the ultimate right to do whatever you want to do. It is your business. But you have to get the infrastructure behind you to be able to do some of those things that otherwise you're not that keen on doing. And if we think about this strategically within an accounting firm, and then we think about how would we do it with us, it makes it so much easier, guys, to do it with our customers, our clients, when we work down that particular pathway. So once we've done a plan, and again, if you need help with the plan with your clients, let me know, and I'll be more than happy to provide you with some information I've got. Then we've got to get agreement, you know. Does everyone agree with the plan? If there's a problem there, or someone's abstaining, or someone's got an issue with it, it's got to be addressed up front, because they will never get over it. What other issues and concerns do people have? And then we've got to link the plan to the ongoing business advisory service delivery. So if the idea is we're going to grow sales by 20%, that's going to lead to an 8% increase in bottom line net profit, then what additional staff levels do we need? What additional systems and processes do we need? How are we going to put those in place? How are we going to measure them? When we go down quarterly and we do a VAS, are we then going to sit down and look at our budget and how well we went to budget and what did we achieve, what didn't we achieve, what's red, what's green, what's strong, what's weak, and then turn that into a very precise conversation around structural change to be able to get improvement happening in their businesses. And where we fit in perfectly is we are the big brother that manages and monitors the plan. And meeting quarterly, we should be revising the strategic plan. I'm on the board of a couple of not-for-profits now, and every board meeting, whether it's quarterly, bi-monthly or monthly, we are now talking about the strategic plan. We're not doing it once and then going back and revisiting it 12 months later. We're talking about it each board meeting. We're getting an update from the CEO each board meeting on what's being achieved. It's that accountability that makes it more likely that we will in fact deliver strategically what we plan to do. And I really believe your clients need this as much as, you know, in other words, sometimes we do as well. So, Andrea, with about 3 minutes to go, that's my very brief ideas on using strategic planning as an engagement service. I will say one thing in finality, guys. I like the model of the firm that sort of tempts the market a little bit, gives away a little bit, does a, you know, vision, mission and SWOT with clients. And by the way, I'm also saying you can get a lot of that stuff up front anyway by looking at the client's website and getting them to do the SWOT in advance online and then turning that into a very systematic process that's designed to engage. And whether you charge for that or not, the bottom line is clients need accountability, clients need support, and clients need us to make this happen. Over to you, Andrea.
Thanks, Mark. A reminder, everybody, if you'd like to ask a question, just type that in now and I can read that out. We'll give it a couple of moments. Eddie has just asked if it's possible for him to watch the presentation again. So just so you know, I will be sending the link for the recording out either later today or tomorrow, so you will be able to watch it again on demand, and I'll also supply a copy of the slides as well. No other questions at the moment, Mark.
And again, guys, if anyone has any questions, any issues, if you need a bit of support with this, I just want to have a chat for the sake of the exercise, just feel free to email me at mark.holton@smithinc.com, and I'll be more than happy to organise time for a chat.
I've got a question that's come through, Mark, from Philip. He has asked, how can we get better at running a SWOT?
Oh, Philip, it's a great question, and thank you very much for it. I'm not sure I have the right answer for you, or a simple answer. I think practice makes perfect. I think repetition breeds learning. I can remember going back and doing my first tax return under the electronic system, as distinct from manual, and I tell you what, it was horrific. But the more I did it, the easier it became, and the better I become at it. Then I realised I didn't want to do it anymore, so I got staff to do it. I think you've got to have a very structured process in your mind. And the one benefit of getting the client to do a little bit of prep work before you start is at least put you in the headspace of the client before you get down this pathway. If I was to do a SWOT analysis with a client, and I do it with accounting firms, by the way, too, and I'm going to do that face-to-face, I'd be appointing someone within the business to get up there on the whiteboard or whatever technology you want to use, and they're the ones writing it down, and then encourage the other guys just to do a brainstorm around that SWOT analysis. I really believe you get better at it by doing it more and more and more. But again, if we want to take that conversation offline, shoot me an email and I'll be more than happy to run through with you exactly how I do it with any client, to be honest.
Great, thanks, Mark. Andrew said this was awesome. Thank you. Gail has said, thanks, Mark and Andrea. Look forward to seeing you in Brisbane next week and talking to Mark more about Disney. So I remind everybody, we have got our on-tour workshops next week as well in Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney. Last chance to register. And Anthony and John have said, thanks, Mark, for the presentation. Thanks,
everybody. Oh, my pleasure, guys. Anyone that's a South Sydney supporter is always happy this time of year. And I'll look forward guys, next week for those that are coming along to our sessions, having a chat about that as well.
Excellent. Thanks, everybody. You can contact us for more questions and the recording will be sent out shortly. Thanks, Mark, for the presentation.
Thanks, Andrea. All the best, guys. Take care.